Okay, if no mistake, we left off before Yontif. We were talking about, on the one hand, there's a halacha of Beis Din for Geirus. It seems to be like Chikvul Yavo, you have to have a Beis Din for Geirus. The Gemara says explicitly, Rishon is Gaiv, no, they're not so in a Geir. And yet the Gemara talks about situations where Milo Tavlo Lidusa. And yet a woman who didn't convert properly, whatever the problem was, and then subsequent years she got married and she was from and she was going to the mikvah and everything was wonderful. And when the Amoraim later had to deal with whether she was actually a Gioris all that time, but no big deal. The Gemara says, Milo Tavlo Lidusa, so that since she's gone to the mikvah every month for Tefillas Nida, that's also okay. So the Rishonim said, well, it's okay. Where's the Beis Din? Nobody's seeing her. So last year, we spoke about some of the interesting terutzim. All the terutzim are interesting, but some of the more fascinating terutzim in the Rishonim. So some of the Rishonim said, yeah, there was a Beis Din. Who's the Beis Din? One person saw her. Who's the one person? A woman. Yeah, it's okay. One person's kasher to be a dayan in a Torah, and maybe the woman's kasher to be a dayan in a Torah. So we said those were really das yachas. Nobody else subscribed to those views. So what is the answer? So Taisus, last time we spoke about, Taisus says, they call the Yesh Mefarshim that it's like an anan tzadik. We all know that she's going to mikvah, so that's good enough. Even though nobody saw her in the water, that's mishkefela. That would also be acceptable. And so again, those are somewhat of the chedoshim terutzim. So Taisus, whenever the sugya comes up, so Taisus, in a few places, points out that the emes teretz, but it seems to be what the ikar teretz discussion is that we have to go back to the drawing board and understand when do you need a Beis Din for Geirus. And the Gemara says, almost very flippantly, Geirutzah shloshim mishpat ksiv beis, a pasuk chumash, and the Gemara says, Mishnah is gabin ol me'at v'eino Geirutzah, ma'achiv medievin, in the Torah. There's no question that you need a Beis Din. We spent a lot of time defining what a Beis Din is. But Taisus says, which part of the Geirus process do you really need a Beis Din for? So if you think about it, says Taisus, what do you need a Beis Din for tevilah for? What? It's a body of water, a kasher mikvah. As long as we know the person went under the water, that would be fine. How do we know? We'll figure it out. Maybe Eidim will need, maybe the woman will be that. We'll figure out how we're going to find out she went under the water. But to know that she went under the water, you need a Beis Din? Since when is Beis Din there just to look around and smile, take a photo up? What are you Beis Din for? There's nothing happening up Eidim. But, says Taisus, when it comes to the Kabbalah HaMitzvahs, wait a second, that's already much closer to the realm of Beis Din. Because Kabbalah HaMitzvahs means there are questions and there are answers, there's interrogation, there's drish b'chakiris, quote unquote, there's evaluation of evidence, is the person serious, not serious? That makes a lot of sense. Should be a Beis Din necessary for that. Says Taisus, when the Gemara says you need a Beis Din present for Geirus, what that means is b'shas kavos and mitzvah, you need a Beis Din. B'shas tevila, famos, we need a Beis Din there, b'shas tevila. Taisus says, min ha-Torah, the din of mishpat ksiv bei, the din of shvatem, the din of getzah, shloshim mishpat ksiv bei min ha-Torah, it's only said b'shas kabbalas hamitzvah, so it wasn't said b'shas tevila. B'shas tevila, you don't need anybody. As long as you can figure out some way halachically that she went to the mikvah, that's all that matters. You don't need a Beis Din. That's what Taisus says. The Taisus backpedals a little bit and says, if that's the case, then it's very hard to understand what the Gemara says in Maseches Yevamos. When the Gemara speaks about the Beis Din being the b'shas tevila, the Gemara already raises the question about how do you do that? Sneas, how is the Beis Din standing there? She's going under the water. How are they going to wash the tevila? The Gemara gives you a whole eight how to do it. First, the Beis Din's out of the room. She goes under the water. She's getting up to her neck in the water. Then the Beis Din walks in. Beis Din talks to her a little bit. She goes under. They watch her go under. Then they walk out. She comes out. The Gemara gives you a whole protocol how to do it. Derech Tzmius. What are we wasting it? What are we doing this for? It's so unnecessary. It's so uncomfortable for everybody. Just let her go to the mikvah without a Beis Din. If Taisus is right, then you don't really need a Beis Din for tefillah anyway. So why did the Chazal have it? So Taisus writes, it must be only a chumra lechatchila. It must be a chumra midravan lechatchila that we don't want to have any part of the geirus being done shlova Beis Din. In certain parts of the geirus, Beis Din is ma'akev, namely kabbalas hamitzvah. It's just bad protocol not to have a Beis Din present for everything. But is it ma'akev? No. Only part of this ma'akev is the din d'arais of kabbalas hamitzvahs. Anything else is only midravan and it's only lechatchila. And that's why the Gemara says, milo tavlo midusa. That's Taisus' solution to the problem. Now, of course, this is very, very far-reaching. It's Taisus. Lechatchila, yeah, it's nice, it's true, we need a Beis Din, but tachas, push comes to shove, we wouldn't really need a Beis Din, at least b'dieved, likuv, we wouldn't need a Beis Din for tefila. That's Taisus' suggestion. Is there any other answer to this kasha? So there is another answer to this kasha, and the other answer is not said explicitly by the Rambam, but one could read into the Rambam and figure out exactly what the Rambam, how the Rambam answered shot to this kasha. Where's the Beis Din? So the Rambam, in Ilchus Rebbeim, the name of Geirus, we quote this Gemara about Milah Tavla Medusa. Rambam has a startling way of describing the story. Rambam says that what would the din be if you have a person who converted and there was a question about the Geirus, we're not sure whether it was good or not, and now years have passed, and we see the woman is Tovelas L'Nidasa. It sounds like the Rambam is just paraphrasing the story. Tovelas L'Nidasa, says the Rambam, Umafrisha Chala Me'isasa. She's working in the bakery, she's doing mafresh challah. I'm talking in Geirus, and you're about a person's challah. What does that do with anything? Harezai b'cheska shenis gaira. I'm seeing a whole different ballgame, a whole different story. The Rambam is learning that Milo Tavla Medusa is not the Tfilas Geirus, b'chlal. The Milo Tavla Medusa is the proof to us we don't have the proper documentation she was Megeris Kedin. We don't have any Dayorim around who's telling us what really happened 30 years ago. So we're trying to figure out what happened. So the Rambam says, quoting the Gemara, the woman's from, she's going to the mikvah, she's keeping kosher, she's mafresh challah, she's benching lechti, she's saying tehillim, she goes to all the Beis Yaakov Shurman, she's doing everything, she's gevaldik, she's meridik. Such a person, mistama, she was Megeris properly. Mistama, we can't find out, we can't find Hadim, we can't find Dayorim, it's been 30 years ago. Mistama, raise a becheskesh in his Gairi Kedin. If a woman is, you know, she's not keeping Tas Mishpacha, she's not keeping Kashra, she's not here. So for us to say she's probably converted properly, maybe or maybe no, we don't know, we're not a Chazafa. But if everything's being done properly, and Mistama and Nizgaira properly, according to the Rambam, do we have any riot in the Gemara that a Tevila Shlomo Beizin is no good? Is good? We don't have any riot. The Gemara's not even talking about a Tevila. Tevila is Geirus. The Tevila is just a simon. It's like Habim Mafish Kala. It's like saying Tehillim. It's a riot that she was Nizgaira properly. When was she Megaris properly? 30 years ago. In front of who? In front of the Beis Yisrael Gimel. There's no Gemara anywhere that says you don't need a Beis in for Tefillah. So according to the Rambam, when the Gemara says, there's every reason to believe it applies to the Tefillah as well. It was only Taisus who had the cash who learned that Milah Tavla Medusa was, that was good for the Maisa Geiris that tells us how to come up with this Chiddush that you don't need a Beis in for Tefillah Yichuvah. So when all the dust settles, we have Kama Vakama Pshatim and Rishonim, what is the story with this Beis Din for Tefillah? Do we really need it? Do we not really need it? So we had a group of Rishonim saying we need it, but we can water down the standards of the Beis Din for Tefillah. Either we'll let one woman be the quote-unquote Beis Din, or we'll say Adon Sate will be the Beis Din. That was one version. Or the other Rishonim who say that no, you never really need it in the first place. That was Tosfos. Or like the Rambam who denies both of the Kulas, who says there's no watered down version. There's nothing. Of course you need a Beis Din for Tefillah. What's a Beis Din? Three men, like an Ochel Sanhedrin, regular, three men, have to be present. Le'ikuva mid'araisa. So yesh v'yesh. How do we pask in halach and the shaylas? The Shulchan Aruch quotes two opinions. The Shulchan Aruch gave us quotes, an unresolved issue. What's the din? Do you really, truly need a Beis Din for Tefillah or not? So half the Rishonim say that you do, and if not, we're in trouble. And the other half the Rishonim say, not so terrible. But the other, the Geirus is going to be chal. So how do we pask it? It's a sfeik of the din. We don't know. We're not sure what to do. Therefore, no way are we ever going to make a Beis Din for Geirus and leave out the Beis Din for Tefillah. No one like Chila is going to do such a crazy thing. You can have a woman, or a man for that matter, who's only converted according to half the Rishonim. That's a disaster. So we wouldn't want to do that. So of course we're going to follow all the Shitas, and we're going to try to make sure that we have a real bona fide Beis Din. Even the Mekilim, who say that you don't need a Beis Din for Tefillah, only said it's b'di'evet. The Gemara describes the Beis Din for Tefillah, even by Tefillah of a woman. So this was the background to an issue that's been going on in the Jewish community already for quite some time. This didn't start 5 years ago. This is already over 100 years ago. There was an issue that was already raised that it's very uncomfortable. Tacha is very uncomfortable. This types of having a Beis Din mamish present, a shas tefillah of a woman, is very, very difficult to pull off. But that's what the Gemara says. The Gemara, the Rambam Shulchan Aruch described, the chanizel sabat tzavar l'mayim, you know, mayim atzavar, and that's what you have to do. You have to do what you have to do. You have to do. But there was some poskim who came up with this idea maybe a long time ago that maybe we could do as follows. Maybe, almost like a little bit of a throwback to the place of the Yesh Mefarshim for the end of the show last week, that what if we could have a tevila taking place that the Dayanim don't actually see, but they know took place. They're certain that a tevila took place without visualizing it. So maybe that would be acceptable. What would that mean practically? Let's say the base stands outside. They stand in the side room, and the woman goes in with mikvah woman who's coming to help her a little bit. So she goes into the mikvah, she goes under the water, and the Dayanim are listening very carefully, and they hear a splash, and then they hear she goes under, and then she comes out. They know that she went to the mikvah, so clearly she went to the mikvah. So maybe that's good enough. That's like an Eidus Yediyah, almost an Eidus Yediyah below Riyah. So maybe that would be good. According to the Yesh Refarsh of last week, that would be good. According to Atosis, who's saying that Mikra didn't even really need a Bezim Batfila, Likub Minatara, that would also be good. And maybe we should advocate doing a Geirut this way. So this idea was proposed by certain Gedolim, it's true. This was proposed already over 100 years ago as a suggestion. And many, many Poskim had serious reservations with this on many different levels. First of all, we're not even sure Edus Yedibel or Ia. I mean, it was one Yesh Befarsh Mentosis. We're not even sure. Is this even an Edus Yedibel or Ia? How do you know she went into the water? How do you know? Just because you heard a splash. You know, I could also make a splash in the bath, but how do you know that she went under the water? How do you know that? Did anyone see that the hair went under the water? Just the mikvah lady saw it. Maybe they didn't see it. It's not so clear. So, again, there were certain opinions in Poskim more advocating this. And there were others who were very opposed to this. So Moshe did not like to say it. So Moshe thought that you're going to do these kinds of funny, finagling tevilas, you're running the risk of having somebody raise a red flag on the Geirus. Maybe the whole Geirus is no good, according to Hefter Shun. Maybe the whole Geirus is no good in B'di'evit. So therefore, this is not should not be the common practice. It should not be done. What should be done is exactly what the Gemara and the Rambam, the Shulchan Aruch, the Nachlisa, the Maya Matzavar. It should be done in the most tzanua way possible. And this is the way it's been done traditionally. If the woman is put under, there's a sheet over the water, or something, some contraption over on top of the water nobody can see, just a little head is exposed, and the Dayanim do a little bit of a Kabbalah Samitzvah, to do a repeat the Kabbalah Samitzvah in the water itself. We do a much long Kabbalah Samitzvah beforehand, and then up at the Shas Nice, we do a very, very short version of Kabbalah Samitzvah, and then she goes under, and the second that she goes under, then the Dayanim run out, and show it. And that's the way it should be done. What sometimes some Rabbanim like to do is that after this is done, sometimes, the Chumah B'Yalma, the Dayanim will step out and they'll tell her to go under the water again, slowly, a little bit more carefully, because just in case Chalila V'Chalila, when she went under the first time, because she was nervous and everyone was rushing and a little tzanua, so Chas V'Shalom, maybe she didn't go down enough and maybe some of her hair remained, even though the Dayanim should not leave the room until they actually see every hair go under. But just because people are nervous, so sometimes they'll tell her, okay, now we'll do the splash. Now we'll stand outside, and the yeses eggs go under the water again, and calmly, more relaxed, and the mikvah lady will tell us every hair went under for sure, and shine. So that was a little bit of a backup. But again, the ika tefillah is when the Dayan and Mamash watching and seeing, as it says, Nikabar Shukhanel. So I'm well aware of the fact that there are certain forces in their certain parts of the Jewish community that have come out with certain opinions that they're probably not entitled to be offering about this topic. So we as followers of the Gemara and the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch and the way Klai Yisrael has been doing halacha since the days of Moshe Rabbeinu, we have to be very, very wary how we do things. And Hilchos Geirus, as we said before, Hilchos Geirus is not the place for innovation, it's not the place for creativity, but when you're living in Taisus and Reb Chaim, that's the time for creativity. Hilchos Geirus, you want to do it like it's been done, you know, Nimsalanami Dor Dor. And again, there were Gedolei Poskim who did do it, I'm not arguing with that, but it would appear that the mahalach of the contemporary poskim is that that's not probably not the best way to do it. We should go back to doing it the way it's been done traditionally, is that machnisa sabat savara, you know, the mayim at savara, and doing it in the most tenu. And again, the yonim have to be very, very sensitive to the tenias and sensitivity, 100%. But again, sensitivity, yes, and we have to do the halacha properly as well. When we talk about those parts of the Geirus process that may not necessarily need a Beis Din, so we're saying according to some Tevila, what would we say about Mila? Would we say that Mila is the same as Tevila? Namely, if you hold that Tevila needs a Beis Din, then Mila needs a Beis Din. If you hold that Tevila does need a Beis Din, Mila does need a Beis Din, maybe there's a split between the two. So Rav Moshe has an interesting idea. Rav Moshe says that maybe even if you machmer that Tevila does, which you have to be sure and say Tevila does, maybe Mila is a little bit more calm. Why is that? There's always a throwback that we spoke about in the first Shir. We spoke about when we do Mila and Tevila, what's the Ika, what's the Tuffel, so to speak? Which is the real Machas the Kedusha? Remember we spoke about Rashba. The Rashba said that usually it's the Tevila that's the Machas the Kedusha. It's the second thing that's the Machas the Kedusha. So Moshe writes that if you do Mila before Tevila like you're supposed to, that's the Seder HaDvarim, Mila before Tevila, so then the Tevila is really the Magaya. That's what transforms it from being a goy to being a Jew. That has to be done by a Beis Din. That has to be done in the presence of a Beis Din. Moshe Enkin, the Mila didn't really do anything. The Mila was just the prerequisite. So whatever is done before the Gemara Geirus maybe doesn't require a Beis Din altogether. Imtim Salomi would flip the order, which again, according to many we showed you not allowed to, but according to the Mekil, the Ramban, who says you could flip the order, so then maybe Moshe says maybe the Allah would be the opposite. If you did the Tefillah before the Mila, so then maybe the Tefillah wouldn't be so important to have a Beis Din. Maybe the Mila would be more important. But we're not going to do that, because we always do Mila first, because we're always Choshesh. For those who say Mila must come before Tefillah, So for us, the tefillah is always the second. So the ma'aseh, the tefillah always needs a basement. The ma'aseh has this idea that maybe the meal is not the point. Why is that relevant for us? So when you do a regular geirus, that's irrelevant. You have a basement who are present at the time of the meal, or the shasat of the bris, whatever you're doing is meal, so that's fine. But we spoke about this in the past, that every once in a while you have a situation where you have a milas geirus that I'm not even sure anyone knows what milas geirus is going on. Sometimes the mole knows, sometimes the mole doesn't know, sometimes he suspects. And you can have a something that in 20 years from now we may turn around and say, guess what, 20 years ago most people thought they were going to a milas Yisrael, but lo and behold the mole realized he was doing a milas geirus. How much does he have to alert some of the other people around as well? So do you have to have a beis din? And even in Tzlum, you have to have a beis din. Remember, we learned that Nadi Behuda last week or 2 weeks ago, that we're not even sure the beis din has to know that they're beis din. Right? We spoke about the Nadi Behuda, the woman didn't know that she was pregnant. We talked about that, right? So it could be that maybe tefillah altogether doesn't need, maybe only kibbutz and mitzvahs needs. And even in Tzlum, a tefillah needs, maybe Ramosh is right that Mila doesn't need. And even on Tzlum, that against Ramosh, that Mila does need, maybe you had because there were people who were present, even though they didn't know that they were serving as a beis din. So there's a lot of sfeikas, there's a lot of things that could be put together in order to accept these kinds of almost like make-believe, but they didn't from Bila, even though nobody except for the Mayo may even know what was going on. Anyway, so in terms of the basic mahalach hadvarim is that beis din is absolutely necessary for a geirus. What that means exactly in terms of how many dayanim that we spoke about last week, and shmuchim we spoke a little bit about last week, etc.
Yeah. How is that done practically for a beis din to be present during meal? They go to the hospital with them, or...?
It depends what they're doing. So if they're just doing a tefas and bris, that's not such a big deal. They're just in the hospital. If it's a situation that has to be done in the hospital, so you have to figure out how to do it. You have to do it. If you want to have a beis din there, you have to figure out how practical it is. Okay? There's one less corollary of the beis din sugya, is that the Gemara says that normally when you have a beis din, so beis din usually requires that it has to be done by yom. Generally, beis din doesn't sit at night. So based on that, we shouldn't be having running a beis din at night for mila either. What if b'di'evid, we went ahead and we magar a person at night, would that be chal b'di'evid? Some Rishonim say, well, it depends which part of geirus did you need a beis din for in the first place. If you need it for kabbalas mitzvahs, and you don't really need for tefillah, like Tosfos quotes one day in Shulchan Aruch, so then just as you don't really need a beis din b'di'evid for tefillah, so then you don't really need yom for tefillah either. L'chadchili should do the tefillah by yom, the same way l'chadchili need a beis din by yom. Same with b'di'evid, you don't. So then b'di'evid, the tefillah b'alayla wouldn't be the end of the world. So some Rishonim quote that when they talk about the Gemara, but Milah Tavla Medusa. So some of the Rishonim ask a question, but tefillah's need is always at night. So how does the Milah Tavla, how does that play out? So some Rishonim say, well, b'di'evid is good. The same way b'di'evid, you don't need a beis din for tefillah, so you don't need yom for tefillah as well. But again, a normal protocol of geirus is going to require everything to be done by yom. B'di'evid, if the tefillah was done by Lailah, so then maybe we could begin to discuss it. I remember a few years ago they were running short on some of the dayanim around, and they needed somebody to help out with some geirus in town where I live. So I hid behind this gemara. I said, I'm in yeshiva all day, and in the winter time, they wanted to come. I said, here at 4:30. I said, you can arrange a way to get around the din of a megarim b'lailah. So I'd be more than happy to, since I knew they couldn't get around that din, therefore I was like, I'd love to be on the basin. You're right. I'd love to be on the basin for geirus, but what am I going to do? Can't do it at light. Can't do it at light. Okay, they offered to turn around and make all the geiruses on Sunday afternoon, but I said, I don't do geirus on Sunday because it's the day after Shabbos. Okay. Talking about Shabbos, oh yeah, that's another topic. So the Gemara raises the question about doing a geirus on Shabbos. The Gemara says, you can't do that either. The Gemara says, you can't be Megayer b'Shabbos v'Yontif. Why can't you be Megayer b'Shabbos v'Yontif? There are two different reasons that are given, one given by the Gemara, one given by the Rambam. So the Gemara says that the reason why you can't be Megayer on Shabbos and Yontif is because it's like Mechsek in the Sakin. It's like you're fixing the person. The person used to be an Adju, a Tikkun, making a change in him, so that's considered to be a Tikkun. So the problem with that Gemara is that the Gemara says Beitza in the second parak, this is more of a Shabbos, so yeah, but in fact in Gavis, the Gemara says in the second parak of Beitza that a person is allowed to go to the mikvah, another topic, if women go to the mikvah on Shabbos and Yontif, it's Mechzik and Mesachin, the Gemara says, nah, that's not a problem, because the other Nira can make her, because it just looks like you're chilling out a little bit, it's like you're making yourself a little bit more comfortable, so it doesn't look like you're fixing something. When you're talking about Kli on Shabbos, that's a big problem, that's a Nira can Mesachin. You're telling a person, that's a Nira can make her. That's what there are more quotes. There were some of the early Ashkenazi Rishonim who said that if you live in a place where it's mamish freezing, you live in northern Europe, so nobody's near to make here in the middle of December, you'd be crazy if you go out and they go take a little dip. So So maybe we should say that tefillah for us on a Friday night is so muchach, it's not going to make her. Maybe tefillah of a woman should be also in Shabbos and Yontif. So there was one opinion that the Ramah quotes that we can't have women go to mikvah on Friday nights anymore. Most communities build like special mikvahs. They've all kind of come up on a kunsin in order to get a Friday night mikvah. So there was some Rishonim who said, don't build the Friday night mikvah. We have to close for Friday night because for us there's no one here can make anymore. So we don't pass like that. The Ramah Hilchos neither quotes that opinion, and then he negates it. He says that if you have a minute like that place, you follow that place. But most of us don't follow that minute. Then so the Gemara says in Beit, so the reason why you can't do the Gemara says in Yavam, the reason why you can't do a Tvilas Geir is because of it's Nirkim Misakein. So the Rishon posed a problem. How is that? What happened to the Nirkim Makers? You have to figure out these places, tries to figure that out. So the Rambam Tafa gives a different reason. The Rambam is so bothered with the Kashi, gives a different reason. Rambam says the reason why you can't have a Geirus on Shabbos and Yontif, you can't have a Bezin on Shabbos and Yontif. Bezin's never allowed to sit in Shabbos and Yontif. So the male, you can't have a Geirus. So whatever the reasons are, the bottom line is we don't do Geirus in Shabbos, don't do Geirus in Yontif. We don't do Geirus at night. Those are all the times that are off limits from Geirus. Again, some of them are linked to the fact that we require a Bezin. Okay. So now we move on to the next topic, which is, in a certain sense, a topic within the Atzmo. But it's really very much connected to the role of Beis Din, and that is a very unique type of a geirus, a very, very important, very many, many shahs lemaisa that revolve around this kind of a geirus. That's the sugya of Ger Katan. Beis Din plays such a major role that the Gemara actually uses the phrase Ger Katan Rabbeinu Sol Das Beis Din. The Gemara in Ksubas Takedalef, the famous sugya, that if you have a child who we want to convert this non-Jewish child for whatever reason, so we have a right, we have the authority to do so. The Beis Din just steps up to the plate, and then Magai, the kid, and Shol Maishol, and this Gival, the kid becomes Jewish. So the Gemara asks, Lefini is actually one of the most startling questions in the entire Shas. The Gemara asks, Amar Rav Huna, Gekot Mabdun Sol Das Beis Din, and the Gemara says, Pshita. The Gemara says, anybody could figure that. I don't need Rav Huna. I would have figured this out on my own, the Gemara says. We can figure this out. There are so many kashas on this din. The Rosh Yeshiva says Shekholis for half this man on the sugya. Those who get to Daf Yud Aleph, only if you start on Daf Tes, you get. If you start on the Beis, you never get there. But in Daf Yud Aleph, there's so many tevers that are said. Pshita, the Gemara says, yeah, of course it's pshita. Why so pashut? Zachal Yadam Shlo B'Fanav Es Amishna, that I could do something that's advantageous to somebody even without the das. So let's say I want to give you a gift. So I'll give it to Binyamin to put up the gift there for Reuven, and it belongs to Reuven. Hope he spoke Zachal Yadam Shlo B'Fanav. Gemara says you can do Zechiyah. So even though the Katan is like Shaleb in front of them, the Katan is a Labar Da, so he's considered to be like he's not in front of us, halachically. So we're going to do the Geirus on his behalf, and sure, I'm going to do the Geirus for him, and Shalom Yisrael, Zach Lem Shaleb in front of us. So the Gemara says, you're right, it's so poshut. So why do I need Rav Huna to tell to me? Because maybe in our wildest dreams, maybe we would have thought that maybe it's not such a schos. Maybe the Gemara's purple, maybe it is schos, not a schos. The Gemara says it's almost a technical question. Kamash Vulon, that Zach Lem Shaleb in front of applause. The simple reading of the Gemara is that the halachic mechanics of how this Geirus works is based on Zachar Liyam Shaleb in front of. That's it, that's what it's based on. Zachar Liyam Shaleb in front of. Sounds pretty, and the Gemara's thought it was so obvious. So the Rishonim go mamish to town on this Gemara. It's so obvious that Zach Lem Shaleb in front of plays out over here. This application of Zach Lem Shaleb in front of flies in the face of two limitations of Zach Liyam Shaleb in front of. So Tosfos already in Daf Yud Aleph raises the question, all the Rishonim raise the problems. There's no Zachiyah for a goy. Zach Lem means I can pick up a gift on behalf of Reuben, but I can't pick up a gift on behalf of John. I can't be mezach or something to a guy. There's no zechiyah for a guy. So the Pharisee Gemara is prepared about mitzvah. So the Rishonim asked, the kid's a guy. How can you do zechiyah on him? So Taisa says, no, that's not the question. Zechiyah of Yahadusa Bram Kiyachar. It's like Gita Vyoda Bram Kiyachar. It means he becomes Jewish at the same time they're doing this list. That's okay. So you can breathe a sigh from him. Taisa says, don't breathe so fast. That's Taisa says, because you have a much more profound question. Namely, he's a katan, he's a kana. And everybody knows that those chiyah for katan, those chiyah for ketana. So, and there you can't answer that, they become a girl. The kid's two months old. So he's not going to be bar mitzvah for another 12 and a half years. So what do you mean, zoch nam shul b'fanav? There's no chiyah for katan. So Tosfos, when they present their kasha, just tone down the kasha a little bit. Is that true, there's no chiyah for katan? Well, not exactly. The Gemara in B'mitzvah of Ayin Aleph says, there is chiyah for katan. But Tosfos says that chiyah for katan is only midirabanan. How do they know that? Because that's what says in the Gemara, Tosfos says. At least Tosfos says it says that in the Gemara. Now the Gemara says Yei Zechiyah LeKatan, but Tosfos had the Girsa Yei Zechiyah LeKatan mid the Rabbanon. And his Minat Torah, this type of no Zechiyah for Katan, the whole institution of Zechiyah for Katan is only mid the Rabbanon. Why is there no Zechiyah for Katan mid the Raisa? What's the problem? So Taisa says the answer is very simple. And the three magic words called Zechiya Mitam Shlichus. Taisa says that, what is Zechiya? Zechiya Mitam means that I'm going to act on your behalf without your authorization. What does Shlichus mean? I'm going to act on your behalf with your authorization. The same thing. When the situation is not clear, that's a zchus, that's something meritorious for you, something beneficial for you, so then the Torah says you need amina shlichus. When it's something that's not, something that's clearly in your to your advantage, so then you can have the same thing shlichus, albeit without amina shlichus. So the Torah says, what's the difference? Whether it's shlichus, whether it's zechiyah, it's all the same thing. The two sides are the same coin. Zechiyah is mitam shlichus. And therefore, Taisa says that all the limitations of Hilchos Shlichus carry over to Hilchos Zechiyah. What are one of the ABC's limitations of Shlichus? Ein Shlichus Akatan. A Katan can't appoint a Shaliach, just as a Katan can, as a Gemara of the Farish, Gemara of Metziah, Gemara of Kiddush, everybody knows that. A Katan can't appoint a Shaliach. So just as a Katan can't appoint a Shaliach, there's no way in the world that I could do something on behalf of a Katan, because Zechiyah is the same as Shlichus. I have the Gemara state of Farish, Yeh Zechiyah the Katan. So Taisa says, look at the next word in the Gemara, Midirabban, they make life easy for the Katan. So he instituted the notion of Zechiyah for Katan. But Min HaTorah, the whole thing doesn't fly. So now Taisa says, based on what we just learned, the Gemara of Metziah Daf Ayin Aleph, put together with Kedushin of Mendez, put all the Gemaras together, we just came to the realization that the whole institution of Zechiyah and Shalafanim is a deraisitic principle, but it falls short when we're dealing with the Katan. So how in the world can the Gemara say that Ger Katan is based on Zechiyah and Shalafanim? It's not going to work in a Torah. But Taisa throws out, almost like a curveball, Taisa says, well, maybe you're going to tell me that every case of Ger Katan is only a Ger Midirabbanan. Maybe he's not really Jewish in a Torah. He says, he's not Jewish in a Torah. He's going to get married if he's going to marry a girl. So Taisa says, well, that's okay. Even though he's only Jewish Midirabbanan, maybe that's also okay. He's going to down for the Yom, and he's going to blow shofar, he's going to make matzah. Taisa has got to work a lot. It's very, very hard. Taisa was almost like entertaining such a possibility. So all the other Rishonim say, what? I mean, a Torah is not really Jewish. What happens when he comes to the Yachim Meir as Mishonah? So he's not really Jewish. He was Jewish, not Jewish. No, the whole thing doesn't make it. It's very, very difficult. So most of the Rishonim say there's no such animal, no such entity called he's not Jewish, but he's Jewish, but Rabbanim. The whole thing doesn't make any sense. So Taisa's Mamish is stuck. Taisa's Mamish in the corner. Mamish in the pickle. How are you talking? How could there be such a thing called a Ger Katan, Minat Torah, presumably, and yet Zechiyah is Mitam Shlichus. There's no Zechiyah for Katan Minat Torah. The Mamish Tron, the Mamish got checkmate. How can it be? There's no scenario of Zechiyah that we're dealing with a Katan. How can it be? How do you solve this problem? So there are multiple ways in the Rishon how to solve this problem. So the easiest way out of this problem is to undermine Tosfos' very premise, and namely to cross one word out of the Gemara of Metziah. What's the one word? Midirabban. And the Gemara says, the Katan Yesh Zechiyah, so don't have the word Midirabbanan. Don't have the word. You don't have to cross it out, because Hefter Shem never had it in the first place. There were two different yourselves, two different texts of the Gemara. Hefter Shem had the word Midirabbanan. The other Hefter Shem never had the word Midirabbanan. So the Rishonim who never saw that word Midirabbanan in there, took the Gemara at face value, the Katan Yesh Lo Zechiyah, even on the level of the Araisa. How could it be? Isn't Zechiyah Mitam Shlichus? Doesn't everybody in the world know that Zechiyah is Mitam Shlichus? So what's the answer? No, not everybody in the world knew it. And in fact, Hefter Rishonim says it's not true. Hefter Rishonim write that Zechiyah is not Mitam Shlichus. Rashba in the Dharma, Zechiyah is not Mitam Shlichus. There's no such thing as Zechiyah Mitam Shlichus. There's no Shlichus for Katan, Gevalt. You're right, there's no Shlichus for Katan. There's no Shlichus for Katan, but there is Zechiyah for Katan. The two have nothing to do with each other. That there's no connection of Gedad between the two. One's a Pasha Shlichus, which is limited to Gedolim. One's a Pasha Din of Zechiyah, which is not limited to Gedolim. Each one goes in its own merry way, and the whole Kash of Taisus didn't even get off the ground. If you want to make it a little bit more lumdish in terms of Chesha Mishpi, you want to touch it up a little bit, so Rabbi Kivager writes in his Chedush about Metziah that there's a big difference between Shlichus and Zechiyah. What's the big difference? Shlichus, since it's not clear that it's advantageous, requires the haskama of the Baal Dover, requires the mina shlichus. I can't do something that's detrimental for you. Even if at the end of the day you're happy with it, if it was objectively detrimental, I can't do it for you. So we need your input. We need you to put me into the driving seat. We need you to appoint me as a shliach. Zechiyah, by definition, means we don't really need your input. The guy's sleeping. He's not expressing his opinion. We're sizing up that it's probably good for him, and therefore we're going to do it for him. So the Kibbeke says, why is there no shlichus for a katan? Where does it say in the Chumash, ain't shlichus a katan? Vishtei ain't shlichus a katan. So the Rishonim Tach have a big problem. There's one pshat, there's another pshat, right? There's another pshat. All the Rishonim are scrambling in Bav Metzia in a position to figure out why there's no shlichus for a katan. So Kivegas says, I'll tell you exactly why there's no shlichus for a katan. It's a pasha de svara, because shlichus requires minui. Minui requires das. How in the world can you appoint someone as a shlich if you're asleep, if you're a labar das? If you don't have the ability to express your das, how can you possibly tell us your das was to appoint the shlich? So says Rabbi Kivegas, I don't need a pasuk. Do I need a pasuk to say that a katan can't buy a bag of potatoes? Do I need a pasuk to say that a katan can't be mekadesh anisha? What do I need a pasuk for? Said whatever requires das in halacha. The Torah just told us. The Rav Shalom told Moshe Rabbeinu one thing. He says a katan is a labar das. Thank you. Once I know a katan is a labar das, anytime the halacha requires das, so then for shteitzik a katan is not acceptable. So Rabbi Kivegas says the reason why there's no shteitzik for katan is the pasha de svara, because a minui requires das, and since a minui requires das, a katan can't be mamana. But when you have zechia, so zechia is a type of a shlichus that taka doesn't require a minui. So since it doesn't require a minui, it's that one type of shlichus that taka katan can have. So Kivegas says it's not so crazy to say that there's no shlichus for katan, but there is zechia for katan, because one requires das minui and one doesn't require das minui. That's a famous Russian Rabbi Kivegas in Bav Metzia. So in the chiddush of Rabbi Kivegas, were written by his sons. So they have in the brackets that his son, Rav Shlomo Eger, who went to Chavrusa with his father, I remember at the Rav's Levaya, so just Chulat Pesach, years ago, 20 plus years ago, so I remember Rav Aaron Soloveitchik, his maspid, his brother. So Rav Aaron Soloveitchik said that the relationship that his father, Rav Moshe Soloveitchik and the Rav had, a father and son, the Chavrusa for so many years, so he said he doesn't know whether such a relationship existed since the days that his Moshe was, since the days of Kivega and Rav Shlomo Eger. That was his mushal. I remember sitting there at the Levaya, that was his mushal. But he conjured up his mind. The cave of Shlomo Eger relationship with Rabbi Shlomo Eger. So somewhere in between all those years of Chavusa, between Shlomo Eger and his father, so in the Chiddush of Kivega, the other sons quote that Shlomo Eger asked his father the following kasha. According to Yosh Tikotayra, that the whole reason why there's no shlichus for katan is not a chisaron of the etzem ha-shlichus. It's just that it's a chisaron in the minui shlichus. So every time there's a shlichus without minui, then a katan would have shlichus. The Gemara says in Bav Metzia that if you hold that chotzer is mitam shlichus, machlokes the Gemara, how does a chotzer work? There's a chotzer shalom kainu lo mitam yado mitam shluchai. The Gemara says chotzer naf kemida, there's a katan have a kid in the chotzer naf. That's the chomer for the chidus chomer. The Gemara doesn't have the chotzer, it's all part of that same chomer after now. That if a katan, the Gemara says that if chotzer is mitam shlichus, so ain chotzer le katan. So the katan can't have a shliach. So Shlomega turned around to his father and said, when your chotzer is kind of mitam shlichus, you don't have to turn around to your backyard and ask them to be a shliach. You don't have to appoint your porch to be a shliach for you. Your house is kind of memele. It's a shlichus without a mina shlichus. So according to your shtickle Torah b'kivega, that anytime there's a shlichus without a mina shlichus, it's good for a katan. That's what zechia is. So then how come the Gemara says that if there's no chotzer, if there's no shlichus for a katan, there's no chotzer for a katan? That was his father's kasha. And they don't say that his father answered. We don't have any record, at least that I know, of what Rabbi Kivegas responded to that time. Whether he backed out from his whole shtickle Torah because of that, or he came up with some kind of a terrorist. I don't know. That was the chavrusa between Rabbi Kivegas and Rabbi Shlomo Eger. That his shtickle Torah and then Rabbi Shlomo Eger's. But an ogele maisa for us is that maybe we have an approach to how ger katan works. Maybe ger katan is a very chashim mishpat gedin. Maybe the only way to really defend the principle of ger katan is to invoke the principle of zechiyah is la mitam shlichos, and therefore it can work for a katan. But that's a very, very shaky thing, because many rishonim did believe zechiyah mitam shlichos. Taiz Zelda way, there's the Taiz Rosh in Masechus Nedarim that has arrived in the Gemara. That way, there are a lot of rishonim who held that zechiyah is in fact mitam shlichos. All Rishonim would disagree. There are ways to get out of all the Gemara, but there's a very, very large group of Rishonim who subscribe to the idea that Zechiyah is mitam shlichus. So how do those Rishonim learn the sugya of Ger Katan to say it's a Ger Medrash Rabbanan? We don't really want to go down that route. So what's the answer to that question? So there's a Rashi in Ksubas Nafir Aleph, but Rashi seems to go down a little bit of a different route. Rashi writes that Ger Katan of Bilas Odas Beis Din. So Rashi writes that the Beis Din becomes like the father of this child, this non-Jewish child. We're converting him. Beis Din Nasin Lo Av Umagayin Nasay. What does the Beis Din, the father? What do the words mean? So the Shach in Hilchos Pidyon HaBen dug up this Rashi. So it's not even the regular Shach. It's in the Kudas HaKesef. The Shach wrote his Perush at the same time Taz wrote his Perush in Yerodea. The Taz was like 80 years old, and the Shach was like 25 years old. They're writing at the same time, and then eventually they were both printed, so each one learned about the other one's terrors. So the Taz at certain time is against the kashas yet against the Shach, so he wrote a refutation. He wrote the other way around. Right. He wrote a refutation against the Shach called the Torah Zohav. So he wrote the Torah Zohav against Shachs, and the Shach responded back with the Nekudas HaKosef. That was the response of the Kash to the Taz against the Shach. Why do you write called Nekudas HaKosef? Because Torah Zohav Naselach im Nekudas HaKosef. What's the problem? The Taz was the Torah Zohav with the Tess. What does it say in the Shir Shirim? It's Torah Zohav with the Tav. It's a totally different world. They have nothing to do with each other. Yeshivish, Tess, Tav. It's all the same thing. But it was a play. Everyone's playing on the words. But Tachlis, in the Nekudas HaKosef, in Simon Jinhei, in Yerodei, in Tijan Ben, so he has a whole Arichas, where he, in the middle of that Arichas, in Tijan Ben, he tells you what's beyond the Rashi. So he says, now, if you look carefully in the Gemara in Kedushin of Nambeis, you'll come to the realization that it was the other way around. It was the Shach wrote the attacks on the Taz, and the Taz responded to the Torah Zohar. But if you take a look at that, at the Shach, so he says that if you look at the Gemara in Kedushin, not the Beis, so the Gemara tells us there are three different halachas. There's a din of Shalichus, then there's a din of Zechiyah, and then there's a din of Apotropos. It's an Apotropos. Apotropos means when you have Yisayimim, if somebody nice doesn't have a father, so then there's a special halacha derived from Sukkim that the Beis din is Mechuv, the Imam and Apotropos. The parents died, he has a big Yerusha, and he doesn't know how to invest in the stock market properly. So the days there's mechuyev to mamidla and epitropos, the schus, that they have to try to be metapa with the kids in the chasim in order to make things work properly for the kid. So the Gemara is up from Sukkim. There's a din called epitropos. The Gemara has a whole drush for Pesach and Pesach Masei. When the Gemara says when they divided up Eretz Yisrael, so they appointed Nesiim to divide up the Yerusha. The Gemara says some of the people who were receiving Yerusha were babies, were little kids whose parents had died. They were under bar mitzvah. So the Nesiim were acting on their behalf. So they were acting as apotropsin. The Gemara says, you learn from your Adin L'Deiris, and apotropsin can act on behalf of a child. So comes the Shach and explains that the Medivah Mamurim, that there's no Shalichas and there's no Zechiah for a child, that's when it's going with the regular rules of Shalichas and Zechiah. But when it's done derech Beis Din, so Beis Din goes down the third track. That's the track of apotropsin. As long as the Beis Din is, they're not just once in a while doing something for the child. They're becoming Nasan Lo'av. They're becoming his father. They're his guardian. So they become his legal guardian. So the legal guardian can do everything. It's on his property. He can buy it, he can sell it, he can do whatever is in the best interest of the assignment they can do. So that's what the Gemara means when it says, Das Beis Din. The Beis Din is not just the Zochim, the Adam Shlomo Fanav. The Beis Din and Nasan Le'av, they become the parents, they become the father of this little non-Jewish child. And it's based on Hukas HaPetropis that the whole Geirus works. That's what works in HaTorah. So that works even for Ketanim. So there's a little bit of a problem with that, is that L'cher, the Parsha of Apotropsim, is for Jews, because the Beis Din is responsible to make sure all the Jewish Yisraelim are taken care of. When we have to set up Apotropsim for all the guys, the whole world, all the Umas Ha'olam, we have to take care of we have to set up unlimited resources for all the Apotropsim for everybody. So it's hard to understand, but the Shach is saying, no, that's it. The Shach is saying, that's how Ger Katan works. So at the end of the day, we have multiple ways in the Rishon to try to explain away how this Ger Katan story works. The Gemara says it's based on Zochin and Shalom Fanov. And the Rishonim are bothered. What do you mean Zochin? Who's Zochin? What's Zochin? So those Rishonim would say Zechiah is Lavitam Shlichos, and there is Zechiah for Ketanim, though it's great. Tosfos Taka had a lot of problems, and the Shach, Pedas and Ashi, claims that it works based on the Zechiah of Apotropos, which carries with its own rules. But this was such a powerful Kasha that there was a Rishon, there's a Tosfos in Masechet Sanhedrin, at the beginning of the 8th Perek. The Tosfos was so bothered with this Kasha that they say the Kasha is better than the Teretz, and in Ochinami, says Tosfos, it's not based on Zochin altogether. Not based on Zochin, the Gemara says it's based on Zochin. So Tosfos explains the background of all this Lumbus. We're spending a lot of time in the Lumbus because all the Shailas and Uchaz Ger Katan, the Maisa Shailas, all depend on these three, four different Mahalchim and Rishayim. So Tosfos and Sanhedrin says the Kasha is such a powerful Kasha. How do you ever get Katan? There's no Zechiah for Katan in the Torah. So Tosfos says this is a different kind of Zechiah, because normally Zechiah means I want to give Reuven a present. Reuven is in China right now. So I give it to Shimon, and I say, Shimon, pick it up on behalf of Reuven. So Reuven is in China. He didn't do the Maisa Kinyan. He didn't touch the present. So Shimon did everything. Shimon did the Maisa Zechiah, the Maisa Kinyan. Shimon provided the Das Kain as well. Shimon does everything. That's Zochlem Shabbat Fonim. That Zechiah doesn't work for a Katan. You have to get Katan. the Maisa Agerus is being done to the ger. It's being done to the baby, to the non-Jewish baby. So what's the Zechiyah on? The Zechiyah is not on the Maisa Agerus, the Zechiyah is on the Das Agerus. Because the child is a lav bar das, so it's a very funny kind of a Zechiyah. So says Tosfos, since Nase HaMaisa B'Guf HaShokotan, whenever the Maisa is being done to the Guf HaKotan, you just need a Zechiyah on the Das alone. So that's a different ballgame altogether. That's not really Zach Shalom fun of. That's a whole different ballgame. The real reason why the Geirus is taking place is you don't even need Zechiyah. There is no Zechiyah here. Taisus then goes on to say the Das is going to be provided later. We don't really need Zechiyah. Here, Kotlin works not based on Zechiyah. It's based on a new principle called Nasa HaMaisa B'Gufo Shel Kotlin. What's the problem with Taisus? What's the problem against the Gemara? The Gemara says the Farish in Ksuba Stavir Aleph. All the Rosh Hashiva say all the Torahs on Zechiyah on the Gemara, because the Gemara says Zav Shalom B'Fanav. So Bishlam, according to all the other Mahalchim we have, with the Shach, with the Rashi, with the Taisus, with everybody else, to explain away why this kind of Zechiyah works, fine. But according to Taisus, it's a heavy Nasa, Maisa, B'Gufo Shel Kotlin. There's no Zechiyah, B'chlal, the whole Zechiyah doesn't exist yet. This is a Maisa, B'Gufo Shel Kotlin. So then, why does the Gemara call it Zav Shalom B'Fanav? So Taisus has a startling statement. Taisus in Sanhedrin writes, it's not based on Zoch Lem Shel B'Fanav. So why does the Gemara say it? Zoch Lem Shel B'Fanav just means Chazal are sensitive to a sociological phenomenon. Namely, why are we doing this for? You ever stop and think we have a Goyisha kid? Why are we converting Goyisha children? What is in it for us? Why are we doing this for? So that's what Taisus says. That's what the Gemara said. We have a principle in halacha called Zoch Lem Shel B'Fanav. That halacha teaches us that we want to be nice. We're going to do things that are good for people. It's a good thing to help people out. We want to help the whole world out. So we're going to be very nice and do whatever is positive and advantageous we're going to do. So because this is a good thing to do, we have another person who's Jewish, that's a great, good for him, good for us, good for the Jewish, good for everybody. It's a win-win situation. Therefore, we are going to do it. Zoch Lem Shel B'Fanav is not the halachic mechanism of how it works, but rather Zoch Lem Shel B'Fanav is the sociological background as to why we're doing this in the first place. Halachically, how does this work? It's work based on Nasa Maisa Guf Shel Kotlin, as Tosfos Sanhedrin explains. So this Tosfos opened up mamish a whole new way of looking at the sugya of Ger Kotlin. We usually think, Tosfos in Ksubis and the Rashba and the Shach and the Rash, we usually think that Ger Kotlin works through the vehicle, through the halachic mechanism of Zochin, and Tosfos Sanhedrin just told us it's not true. It works through a totally different halachic mechanism called Nasa Maisa Guf Shel Kotlin. The Zoch Liyadim is just a sociological background to why we're doing this. Just Derech Agav, this is so important in Halacha, this is a kuda that is so lost in today's world, that people, sometimes you read things that people don't have a clue as the difference between these two things, that very often the lines are blurred between what is the halachic mechanism and what is the economic, political, sociological reasons why we got to this point in the first place. Let's finish Pesach. How does Mechiras Chometz work? So there's a very, very technical halachic sugya called Mechiras Chometz, and it has to work. It's got to work based on Kinyan Keser, based on Kinyan Chalitin, based on Kinyan Ava, based on Kinyan Chotzer, based on Tisitum. You can spend months and years just learning the sugya. How it's got to work. There's got to be some way in Chesh Mishpat that property schnapps can get transferred from a Jew to a Goy, and the Goy not 6,000 miles away from that schnapps. So you have to figure out a way up the halacha that works, and until you figure out a way that's going to work, it ain't going to work. How come 1,500 years ago nobody did Mechiras Chometz? Tosefta says if you're on a boat, you're on a cruise, there are Pesach, and you realize that you forgot to get rid of your Chometz, so never, Tosefta says, find a Goy and transform. How come on Mas nobody ever did that? In the days of the Tanoim, nobody, there's no Mishnah in Pesach who talks about Mechiras Chometz. No Amira ever did Mechiras Chometz. No Rishon ever did Mechiras Chometz. So how come all of a sudden in the 1700s everyone started doing Mechiras Chometz? What's the answer? There was a new economic reality. You know what the economic reality was? The Jews started owning schnapps, and they started being in food business, and they started to get a lot of, and it became very hard. They didn't have any money. It became a big hefsed merubah. So the Chachme HaTorah in that generation had to devise this thing called Mechiras Chometz. So they figured out Mechiras Bechor, Mechiras Chometz. They figured out all the precedents to figure out how the world was going to work. Until the 1700s, nobody bothered to figure out how to do it, because it wasn't relevant. So if I would stop you and I'd ask you, Api Halacha, how does Mechiras Chometz work? So if you would say to me, Mechiras Chometz works because Jews are in schnapps business. That's why it works. So I'd say that shows a very shallow misunderstanding of Halacha. That's not how it works. That is what prompted Chachmei HaTorah in that generation to really work through the sugya really, really hard. It forced Tzaisim to write pages and pages and pages for how to figure out how to sell things to Goyim. And we had to learn sugyas and Bechairis and sugyas and Bamitzi and sugyas and Kedushin and figure out how in the world to do it, that it should work. It doesn't work because the Jews were in the schnapps business. You're right, if the Jews were never in the schnapps business, probably no one would have thought this through. No one would have bothered to spend time to figure out something that wasn't relevant. But it has to work based on the halachic system itself. You have, sometimes you have a tremendous need. The Gemara says in Gittin, there was a tremendous socioeconomic need. People weren't lending money anymore. It was Erev Shemitah, no one wanted to lend money. What's a terrible thing? Aniyim didn't have any money. It's a terrible, terrible thing. So Hillel had to think, to come up with an eitzah, how to quote unquote get around the problem. So Hillel couldn't just say that, well, there's a sociological need and therefore halacha is reformed. I mean, that's not our religion. That's not how we do things. So there could be a tremendous shasachah, but it has to work. The equation on the board has to work. So Hillel came up with this phenomenal equation called Prisbal. So the Gemara gets to this. So what's the equation? So the Gemara explains. Maybe it's Hefke Bez and Hefke. Maybe Shvitz is the Rabbanon. So you have to figure out what the mechanics are. You can't just say there's a need and therefore we're going to do whatever we want. We're going to play around with Allah. That's the Carson do that. That's not what we do. The need is present. You have to identify. Part of the job of the Rav is to identify the need. And if the Rav doesn't know the need, then people have to explain to the Rav what the need is. And then the Rabbanim have to figure out, each generation, can we meet this need or not? Is this a legitimate need, number one? You have to assess, is it really a legitimate need? And if it is, then is there an authentic way, the valid way in halacha, how to solve that problem? So that's what the Rav used to call, the atom bomb theory. The Rav said, if you would ask a person to explain, how does the atom bomb explode? Explain to me the science, the mechanics. Why does a bomb explode? So a guy's going to say, this is why a bomb explodes. Because Japan attacked America on December 7th, and America was fighting for 4 years against Japan. They didn't want to invade Japan, and therefore the bomb explodes. If E doesn't equal MC squared, you can give a shiur in world history from today till doomsday. If E doesn't equal MC squared, the bomb's not going anywhere. It'll be like North Korea. It'll be a dud. Nothing's going to happen. So it has to work on the lab. It's got to work on the blackboard. There's got to be a halachic formula. There's got to be a scientific formula that it works. So you can't just say, well, we need it to work. We're going to down say the hill and the bomb should explode. If it's not going to work in the laboratory, if the numbers don't add up, it ain't going to go off. So the Rav said that's the same thing with halacha. Sometimes people mix up the two. They say, there's a big need, there's a big shasachach, there's a big, right, we know, there's a very big shasachach. It was a big shasachach to win the war. But until they figured out how to connect the dots, how the plutonium to become 238 and to blow up, you can big shasachach and say till tomorrow, it's not going to happen. So each and every generation, when you have these big shasachachs, that's the job. Shavtim should be a mech, each and every generation, to figure out, is the need legitimate? Is it an authentic need? And then, if the Islam it is, and to figure out what to do with it. So that's what this Tosfos, the Maseches Sanhedrin, is learning the Ger Kotlin Sugya, totally different from all the other Rishonim. All the other Rishonim are learning that when the Gemara says Zoch Leivos Lebefanav, that is the formula. That's the halachic formula. That's the equation on the blackboard. That's how it works. And that's why Tosfos was so bothered. But it's a terrible formula. It's the bomb's not going off because Chiyah is mitam shlichus, and there's no Chiyah for a kotlin. The whole thing doesn't work. So this bomb is a dud. And Tosfos had a big problem. And Tosfos had a kasha and a rasha and another pshat. Everyone's got to weigh in on that. Comes Tosfos and Sanhedrin says the whole thing is wrong. You misunderstood the whole Gemara. The Gemara wasn't even talking about what the formula was. What's the formula? The formula is Nasa Geir, Spagufa Shokota. So why is the Gemara drain us about Zochler? That's what prompted us to do this in the first place, because we were nice people. We want to be nice to everybody. We want everyone to be Jewish. We want all the people to get all these wonderful brachas of being Jewish. So we're going to go ahead and do strange things in halacha. We're going to be Megayah the Ketanim. How does it work? It works because Nasa Geir, Spagufa Shokota. This is a major, this is already a major conceptual halachic question. How does Ger Katan work? Is it based on ultimately Zochin, or is it based on something very, very different? So the Gemara puts the brakes on the din of Ger Katan. The Gemara says, that when the children get older, they turn Bar Bas Mitzvah, so they have an option out. Now normally, you can't opt out of Ger. So the guy converted 20 years ago, now he's 85 years old, and he wants to become a Goy again. You can't do that. Once you're Jewish, you're done, you're finished. But by Ger Kotlin, he did the Chamim Chos. Right around the Bar Mitzvah time, they want to back out, they can actually back out. How does that work? So the Gemara never explains how that works. So you have to plug into the different Rishonim. So according to Rov HaRishonim, the simple Pshat of the Gemara is that's based on Zochin, so it makes a lot of sense. Let's say I want to give a gift to Reuven. So I tell Shimon, pick up this gift for Reuven. I really, really want to give him the gift. And Reuven comes back from Shai and he says, I don't want your gift, so I'm a Tanis Yichya, but the gift is Bata. Gemara says in the end of Baba Basra that from today till tomorrow, if the Baal Dover comes and says, Lo Michale Bibas Chus, so then the whole Chus is undermined. So that's exactly what's going on in this Gemara. This is a pure Cheshe Mishpat Halacha that Zachlan shall be fun of until the point that the other person says that's not a Chus. Kolzman is not Bar Mitzvah, he can't express an opinion. But once he's Utot about at the time of his Bar Mitzvah, he expresses his opinion. Igloy Muslim Afay was never a Chus. Igloy Muslim Afay was never Jewish from day one. But what about according to Tosfos? According to Tosfos in Sanhedrin, that the Geirus worked without Zuchos. We don't even need Zuchos and Shofmanim. It's based on Nasa Geirus from the Nasa Maisa the Gufa Shokotan. So the Geirus is over. So for us, what is Igdilicham? What's that based on? So that's a bomb kasha. So Tosfos yesterday, kasha off the next week. We have to figure out what the answer to that kasha is. And once we have the two very, very different models of what Geir Kotan is, we have Rova Rishonim against the Tosfos and Sanhedrin. So then you have to tackle all the intricate shilas that come up as matters that many, many Geirus shilas revolve Geir Katan, and much of it revolves these ABCs and how Geir Katan works. So today we spend a lot of time on the Lamdos, but the Lamdos is very much going to impact on the Halacha. So next week we'll finish up Geir Katan and then finish up a couple of sort of odds and ends, finish up with Geirus shilas.